get your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep.
Direct my feet.
Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. And that
happy tune is your step.
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade. With those blues on the radio. But I'm not afraid.
Uh-oh, who are you talking to?
This rover.
Blah, 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 blah. You're truly some bozo.
Crossed over. If I never.
Frank City Bill Kai, if I came in and I spoke with you.
I'll
who?
Frank City Bill Kai, if I came and spoke with you.
Gold dust at my feet.
What's so funny? Why are you laughing at me? I don't understand.
Is this Keith Urban?
No, but you're close. My name is Derek Robinson.
Derek Robinson?
Derek Robinson.
Oh.
I'm half Australian, half English. It's called, we call it being Brit-Australian. It's like British and Australian. It's Brit-Australian. You might think it's funny, but I can't help the way I talk. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. I'm not laughing.
Frank said I could come and talk to him just, you know, a little bit. And,
what?
He said I could come and talk a little bit.
Oh, Frank.
How you guys doing?
Fine.
Good day. That's the Australian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I picked that up when I lived down under.
Good day.
What would you like to talk about?
Now, in Down Under, in Australia, the deer population is bad here, but for the
kangaroos, I know where you're headed with that.
Yeah,
kangaroos everywhere. They're all over. You hit them with your car, and you hit them on the motorcycle, and walking. Sometimes you walk. Did you walk into one? It's happened, yeah. And they're boxing you. They want to box, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can be angry and mean. Yeah.
Oh.
My name is Derek Robinson. Did I say that?
Yeah,
who's the other guy? Who's the other guy? He's not saying anything.
Peon.
I'm not going to say anything because I don't want another person with a weird voice to kill themselves.
All right, now that's funny. I don't know why you're saying that, because a funny talking man.
That's right.
I know the whole story in the history, because Frank told me about it.
That's right.
Funny talking man kill himself because of you.
I don't want you to knife yourself.
I don't want you to knife yourself.
How do you go to sleep at night with that on your conscience?
I want David Robinson to.
It's Robinson with
Robinson to hang around for a long time, so I'm going to be quiet over here.
No, you don't. I can tell you're being sarcastic. I'm done with you.
Oh,
Frank, you come in here.
Wow.
I don't have anything to do with these people. All right, thank you, Derek.
This is my friend Derek Robinson. I met him. I was just out in the store, and I ran into him.
And now you're friends?
Well, you know, I mean, not really. I don't know him well, but I liked him. He moved here. He's AM and the PM. How can you not like the guy?
And he came over?
Yeah.
He said, come on into the studio.
Yeah, I said stop by, and he did, and I was happy he did. Apparently you guys don't think he's...
I didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome.
I was talking to him about kangaroos.
Gather around the... you know, I've never been over there, but don't you think that'd be weird to see kangaroos kind of jump around?
Yeah.
It's like goats in Jamaica.
It would just
be more weird to see kangaroos, because they're just weird. They hop around on those two big legs, and they box people, and do you eat them? I guess they eat them.
I don't know.
What do they do with all of them?
I don't know.
I've never seen anything that was made like a kangaroo hide or kangaroo fur. And what do they do with them?
I had a friend of mine that he worked at Boeing, and he would go over to Australia several times a year for business and loved it. He said... Australia was really cool.
It's a lot of uninhabited area, apparently. Yeah. It's just like a lot of just nothing.
The outback, yeah.
Yeah, just land. And the population is relatively small for the size of the country. I'll get
that
there one
would
of these
be,
days.
I mean, essentially, that's like on the opposite side of the earth, right? The flight is like...
I think so. I think our winter's their summer.
Yeah. Yes. You know. I've heard the flight is...
Hey, let's take the listeners there. Let's go to Australia.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Maybe we could do that one day.
Isn't the... is the Australian Open going on right now?
Yeah, it's just finished, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because, what's her name? Carber? The girl who beat Serena? And then Djokovic? I think it's over. Yeah.
Oh,
It's over.
21 hours to fly to Sydney from St. Louis.
Man.
Now, do you do that? I don't know. Do you do that nonstop? Is that possible?
Let me see what Google Flights gives me here.
We need to get Julie on this. Let's tell her we want to go to Australia.
21 hours.
That shouldn't cost each couple but about 10 grand.
No.
The cheapest flight is $1,300, and that's two stops.
And that's round trip.
Yeah, St. Louis to Denver. I don't know if this is round trip price. Probably just one way.
Oh no, no. You think so? I'll bet $1,300.
I'll bet you it's
round trip. Yes, it is round trip. Yeah, $1,365.
So for a couple to go with us, we get $2,600 just in flight. Maybe we get a little better deal if we took a group. So let's say $2,500. That's a good save. So then we need lodging. You know what? I bet we could do this Australian thing for $6,000-$7,000 a couple.
Mm.
I bet.
So you fly to Denver, then you fly to Los Angeles, and then 15 hours from Los Angeles to Sydney.
Man, I've never... that's an overnight flight. Yeah, the longest I've ever been on a plane in the air was maybe 3.5 hours, 4 hours maybe.
Yeah, four hours.
That's about it for me, 4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do? What is it? How long? 20 what? 13 hours?
15 hours from L.A.
15 hours. You know what you do? You don't sleep for 2 days, so when you get on there, you're real sleepy.
Yep.
And you just sleep most of the time.
Well, yeah, but you have those first two legs to get through before you even have that long leg.
That's true. Yeah, I don't think we'd get 20 people to go with us on that trip. Well, let's see. Here we are, the fourth day of February. It's just... another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
That's right, it's the 3rd, not the 4th.
Yeah.
It's June, not February. All right, there's something I need to do here. Yesterday, I came on. We've had a couple of people let go recently. Scott Sherman was banned from the station. I wasn't too happy about that. And John Hadley was let go. And yesterday I said, you know, that John Hadley had always been really nice to me, and he has. He was always very nice to me, and beyond that, I don't know the specifics of what happened. And every once in a while, when something happens to somebody who was nice to me, I have a tendency to want to jump and express my displeasure with them losing a job. And I got to stop doing that because I don't know all the facts. You know, and in my life, there have been people that, and this is not the case with Hadley. I really don't know what happened. I didn't hear whatever was said. I don't know the name of whoever it was that got upset. I don't know. I don't know any of that. So I think I was out of place. I was out of place by saying something like, I don't know what I said, but it was something like he was let go for ridiculous reasons or unjustly. So I'm taking that back. I don't know that, and I have to learn not to do that. I still stand by the Scott Sherman thing being a dumb decision. I'll stay by that. But the other thing I have to stop, and thank you, Tom. I think his name was Tom, who sent me an email and said that I say fantastic too much, and I think he's probably right.
Really?
Yeah, but let me say this. You have to find a word, and I can't stand the word awesome. I'm sick of that word.
Or amazing. You don't like that one.
I'm sick of amazing, and I'm sick especially of awesome. I mean, my goodness, this awesome thing. Hey, how was it? It was awesome.
I know a couple of people that say amazing all the time. Not awesome, but amazing.
So I don't want to do amazing. I don't want to do, and apparently I do say fantastic. So we're going to hit you guys. Now, every once in a while, it's okay. You can't, you know, never say amazing. I mean, you could say it every once in a while, but if you do it all the time, my word used to be neat. Hey, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat. And then that sort of became I don't know. You sounded like an old person if you said neat. But what do you replace it with? I'm not going to use awesome. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of awesome.
Cool.
Well, I'm sick of that, too. Cool. Oh, man, that's cool. But moderation. So I need to find another word besides fantastic. Not that I'm never going to say it. But, Tom, thank you for calling it to my attention that I probably say it too much. And I did speak before I had facts, and I still don't have the facts about John Hadley. So I guess what I'm saying is I hate to see anybody, I guess, lose a job. Not everybody, but I hate to see anybody lose a job who, to me, was always nice and pleasant to be around. Maybe he wasn't everybody. I don't know. I'm not everybody. So if I implied that the station somehow did something ridiculous or stupid or wrong, I take that back. Because I don't know the details. But to John, I do say good luck. I wish anybody good luck who's looking for a job. I really do. Because I don't particularly like people who don't look for a job. The lazy people. The people who sit down and calculate how much the government could give them if they won't work when they could work. I don't care for those people.
I think John does okay. He'll be doing okay because he has all the other sports stuff that he does too.
And he's a sports stat genius, yeah. I understand. So he'll be fine. But it's not my place. The fact is, none of my business. It's none of my business, I guess, how this station does whatever it does. But it does become my business if it affects this show. If it affects what precedes this show, especially, because that's our lead-in. And if there's something on the air that I think is just absolutely horrible, then I'm going to say something and go to the down the hall and go, hey, do I have to follow that crap? Because if people leave the station and go, I'm not listening to this, and, boy, we got a couple of shows that is the reaction to, especially, none in particular, but there are a couple of weekend shows that if you listen for 10 minutes, you'll go, I'm never listening to this again. Well, the poor show that has to follow that starts with no audience, and you got to hope people come back on the dial to 550. So there's some things I don't know, and until I do know the facts, I probably shouldn't have said anything. Speaking of saying anything, does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Oh.
Well, that was a little hesitation there.
I was going to jump in, too, but well, I was waiting for Peon.
Peon jumped in first, so okay. So I give you Eon the Peon. Peon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A couple of interesting things happened last night. Last night, of course, was
your anniversary.
Ooh,
yeah.
So I was.
You take some vitamins?
I was at my bowling league.
isn't that romantic? Wow.
So I thought I'd share a couple of interesting things that happened at bowling last night.
While your wife was home by herself with Archie.
Yeah.
On your anniversary.
She
yeah.
wasn't by Please herself.
No, she had him.
She had the little lad with her. One was pretty remarkable. My friend Pat, who is on my team.
Did you bowl 300?
I did not. But okay. My friend Pat, the first game, he bowled a 279, so that was very impressive.
Wow.
Only had one spare frame. The rest were strikes. And then my friend Kurt, who is also on our team, he's not full-time. We have a couple subs who, when somebody can't make it, they fill in. So Kurt is not the best bowler. He would never claim that. I think his average is around 114, which is not that great. But he did something fairly remarkable on his. So you have two balls. If you don't get a strike,
I sure do.
If you don't get a strike, you throw your first ball, and then you try to get the remaining pins with your second ball. On his first ball...
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When you just said that, you throw the ball, and if you don't get all the pins, you get the remaining pins on the second ball. I actually think there are probably some people who have no idea about bowling or how it works.
Especially scoring. I know a lot of people, especially if you're not into bowling at all.
And
nowadays, with
manual
the computers
scoring,
doing it...
If you try to do it on your own, I remember, believe it or not, we had a bowling class in high school, and
really?
I remember filling out, and that was the most confusing thing, carryover. It was like division or something.
Oh, yes.
I remember
Thank
that.
Goodness for computerized scoring.
Yeah. No, it can be tricky if you don't know what you're doing.
So for those who have never bowled, you get a ball and a bunch of pins. You get two shots at it. That's it.
Ten
and then
pins.
They reset
yes.
them. Yeah, 10 pins.
And all the pins are designated by a number. Like the very front pin is called the head pin or one.
Yeah.
It starts one, and then it goes to the next line. There are two pins, which is the 2-3 pin.
Is number 10 on the far right in the back?
Yes.
Okay.
My friend Kurt, on his first ball, which you normally try to throw towards the middle of all the pins, if you are on your game, he didn't manage to do that. He threw it way on the left. So it was heading towards the 7 pin, which is the one all the way in the back left. He hit the 7 pin, and somehow it bounced around and knocked the 10 pin down.
Really?
So on his first ball, he was able to knock down, and all the other pins stayed up.
Do the 7-10 split.
He did the 7-10 split on his first ball. So the 7-10 split is the hardest split to get. That's the.
And he did it with the other pins sitting there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so unbelievable.
So it was, a degree of difficulty added even on leaving all the other pins standing. And
let's put it this way. If somebody said, hey, Kurt, here's $1 million, do that again.
He couldn't do it
in 10 years.
It was funny, though, because work started spreading down the lanes, and everybody's like, what? He did what?
He hit a 7-10.
But it's almost impossible to do it and not hit those other pins.
Oh, well, it's impossible to do when there are no other, you know, just those two are standing after,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you're 0.005% probably of the time.
It's pretty
pitched.
Tough.
So that was pretty interesting.
I saw Mark Roth, who was a professional bowler a long time ago. Remember when Chris Schenkel and Nelson Burton Jr. used
yes.
to do bowling? It was ABC's bowling on Saturday, and I used to watch that religiously, and there was a guy named Mark Roth. And I saw him pick the 7-10 split.
Don't you think with all the channels there are, surely there's a bowling or a channel that at least carries bowling. There are a lot of bowlers in this country.
They still do. ESPN still carries ESPN. The PBA Tour.
Yeah, but that's the big final. I mean, that's the biggest of the big.
Every once in a while you'll see, like on Fox Sports, they'll do like a college bowling thing. Every once in a while, it's nothing... on a regular basis.
But I used to like it just because it was a different kind of person you're watching. When you're watching a baseball player or a football player, you know, those are in-shape athletes. I remember watching some of those bowling people, like 300-pound guy would get up.
Yeah.
No other sport will you see a guy that looks like that get up and be called, I guess, an athlete. Would you call him an athlete if you're a bowler?
Yeah, I
don't.
So.
I mean, I guess, you know, under the general term of athlete, it falls, but I think it's one of the, I don't know how many sports you can.
I mean, a pool player.
Drink beer and smoke cigarettes while you're doing
it. There's
professional. Pool player's not an athlete.
There's professional pool players, and they go out. And,
bowling is at, like
probably
pool.
Fringe at best.
Like
sport.
Pool, you can be the champion of champions and weigh 90 pounds or 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And next thing I have, I saw this list, and I thought I would share some of them. It's a pretty cheery topic. It's surprising things about death. So I thought,
bring it on.
To,
Joe Calmer, hope you're listening. Go
now
ahead.
I know, you are left-handed. Did you know that left-handed people die 3 years earlier than right-handed people?
I've heard that, and I'm not feeling that well today.
Really?
Yeah, no, I've
I don't
heard
know
that.
Where, why, or where, or how they got those statistics. But
my mom's left-handed.
Uh-oh.
See, first of all, I don't believe it, but I've heard it. I don't believe it. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They say within 3 days of dying, the enzymes that were once used to digest your dinner, mm-hmm. they start to eat you. You know, all
boy.
Those things in your stomach that break down your food.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it only takes a couple days for the enzyme to go, hey, there's no more food around here. Let's just start going. if you die in Amsterdam with no friends or family, a poet will write a poem for you and recite it at your funeral. I thought that was pretty neat.
Really?
Just the country.
How can you write a poem about somebody you don't even know?
It's
just
it's
a generic.
Just, yeah, exactly.
You know.
This
once was
kind
a
of,
life filled with happiness and joy is now resting. Yeah, okay.
This one's kind of scary. The doctor's sloppy handwriting kills more than 7,000 people a year.
Oh, I can't. Because they can't read the prescription.
That or, you know, whatever. you know, surgical notes or...
yeah.
Or maybe they give a note to a nurse and give him 500 cc's or, and they can't 5, read
5,000.
Yeah, they give him 5,000, he's dead.
And why is that? Why is a doctor's handwriting so horrible?
That is a great question.
Well, now they do computer.
I don't know. I bet it's probably about the same average as everybody else, but just you have more things with their, you know what I'm saying?
Probably.
Because nobody walks around with a piece of paper with my writing on it, you know, a prescription pad.
But here's the thing. Take 30 people and have them write anything and hand it to you. At least one or two of them, you're going to go, wow, you have beautiful handwriting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've never seen a prescription where you looked at the doctor and went, man, you got beautiful handwriting. Never.
You are more likely to die from a coconut falling on your head than a shark attack. Anybody that's afraid to swim.
Okay, I believe that.
Mount Everest still has 200 dead bodies on it, which are now landmarks on the way to the top.
Not a surprise.
On your left is Dave Johnson, who died.
Not a surprise.
Let's see here.
And they're probably perfectly preserved because they're frozen, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, a guy who climbed Mount Everest 40 years ago.
Still there.
He's still perfectly intact.
The creator of the Pringles packaging had his ashes stored in a Pringles can after he died.
Makes sense.
This one, I don't know why. Obese drivers are 78% more likely to die in a car crash. You would think they would have more padding.
Well, because they can't steer.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Who knows?
Now, you know what? The velocity of the body. If you
I guess
hit,
once it gets in motion, you know, that thing.
A big body is going to travel into the dash or whatever with more impact.
That and the airbag's probably not going to do anything for him. When the airbag's blows
no,
open.
I don't think that's
I don't know. In 2013, Google founded a company called Calico, and it's an anti-aging company that is designed to ultimately cure death. If anybody could cure death, I think Google would be the ones.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be a disaster, because the world eventually couldn't even hold everybody, because you got people being born and nobody dying. That'd be horrible.
And then the last one, what would your guess be about the total number of people who have died all throughout human history?
Oh, my goodness.
Human history?
I'm going to say 2 billion.
Wow. I'll say...
No, I'm going to go more than that. 11 billion.
Wow. I was going to go like 5 billion, I guess.
100 billion people.
It's a lot of funerals.
Yes. That was it. That was all I had.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
I'm good because we have, it's after 3:30, I guess.
Oh, we have a guest on the phone?
No, we will. We need to go to traffic.
Is Tim back today?
Yeah, he is.
I'd like to talk to him about why he was gone. Burke segment's officially closed. We're going to check in with Tim Weiland, and the first question is not about traffic, but it's where were you yesterday?
Oh, I had to move a doctor's appointment up, so it came at the time during work, so I took a half a day off.
So you let your personal health issues come before KTRS? That goes in your personnel file.
It's loaded. It's a drawer spewing that stuff out.
There's not even room for it.
Yeah, really. No, it was a doctor's appointment, so if you're going to have the day coming, I'd take it.
Okay, the way you're saying it sort of quietly sounds like it's some personal erectile dysfunction thing, so we're not going to really ask any more questions.
We won't probe you any further.
Did you go to the gynecologist?
It boils down to I have tennis elbow.
Dan, what did you say? Did he go to what?
Gynecologist.
That's not even funny. It's not even funny. Why would he go to the gynecologist?
You're saying Tim has lady parts.
Yeah, that's not even funny, and Tim's our friend.
Oh, sorry, Tim.
We would never make that assumption about you.
Peon and I wouldn't have never. We never would have done that.
Never do it.
Lady parts.
These guys stand up for me.
They do.
They've got my back.
Yep. How's that traffic? All right, thank you, Tim. John Londoff is with us. Hello, John.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. My first question, did you watch the first of the two-part Madoff program with Richard Dreyfuss as Bernie Madoff last night?
No, sir.
Absolutely. You know what? I almost saw it.
Oh, man.
I caught it, and I almost used that word again.
Terrific?
It was terrific. It was, you couldn't.
What were you going to say?
Fabulous.
Fantastic. And I had a listener say I say that word too much. I'm trying not to say it too much. I'm not going to give it up, but I'm not going to say it too much.
What's wrong with saying fantastic?
Well, if you overdo anything, it's wrong. I'm tired of awesome. I'm sick of, ooh, it's awesome. Sick of that. So here's the deal. Richard Dreyfuss was Bernie Madoff.
So was Richard Dreyfuss awesome?
He was good. He was very good. But it's a terrific story for people who don't know the Madoff story. And I think we forget how many lives this guy destroyed. Oh. And how many billions of dollars. I mean, he ruined the lives of everybody from movie stars and athletes and CEOs to little old ladies who were widows with just not much money. He took it all. He took it. It's a terrific story, and part two is tonight on 30 ABC. And if you didn't see part one, I don't think it'll matter because it ended last night with he was just about to get audited. A couple of people had really torn into his paperwork and said, wait a second, billions and billions, something's not right here, and now they're getting ready to go after him. So it's a terrific two-parter.
Sounds exciting. I might have to catch that.
I just don't know how anybody
is
that smart.
I'm probably going to watch Blues Hockey tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you can record it. You can record it.
I will record it. Do you ever watch any Blues Hockey?
Right? No, never.
Okay.
The St. Louis Blues and the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, don't judge me. I just
Dan, you're unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
But, give them your.
I just went to an awesome event. It's a groundbreaking for the Lafayette Industries North County expansion. Lafayette Industries is a phenomenal organization. It's been around for several years. That hires adults with disabilities, but as we say, they are really adults with abilities. Unbelievable abilities to give, and they do piecemeal work for many of the corporations around the St. Louis area. Jackie Hope Londoff is an employee of Lafayette Industries West. So there's a Lafayette Industries West, Lafayette Industries North, and Rob Libera, who runs both of the West and the North. Lafayette Industries, a great, great, great organization, phenomenal charity if you're looking for another great charity. There's so many in this town. But can I tell you how many people came up to me and said that they listen to us on the AM and the PM show?
Yeah, they didn't say they saw you on TV. They said they heard you here. Correct?
What?
See, I caught him. He knows I caught him. He's trying to think of a comeback. They didn't come up and say, I saw your TV commercial. They came up and said, I listened to you on the Large Morning Show in the afternoon because I'm AM and the PM, right?
Today we cut our
I knew it.
We cut our TV commercial for the Londoff Love. It's February, so I mean, you know, I can even hear the love in your voice right now, Frank.
Well,
you know,
maybe this TV commercial will finally be effective.
It's a Londoff Love TV commercial with for our St. Louis Art, unbelievable, another great organization. I'm on the board with St. Louis Art. They staff Jackie Londoff and take great care of her and hundreds and thousands of others. And Isabel Hogan Trucking, daughter, adorable. She will be in the commercials with me our third year in a row, and John Taylor with St. Louis Art. And we had so much fun. So many people were telling me how much they love my TV commercials.
No, how much they love
my TV commercials. And then they'll say, you know what, you look better in person than you do on TV. Now, I don't know. I'm not putting words in their mouth. They're saying that to me.
They didn't say that.
I don't know. Because, you know, TV adds 15 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been on TV, and for some reason it adds 40 pounds for me. I don't get it.
But some people said, they said, why don't you and Frank do a TV spot together?
We could do that.
It'd be fun.
We could do it. I'm not much on being on television, but we could do it.
Your listeners do watch TV, obviously, but I cannot tell you how many, really, all AM and the PM, they listen all the time.
Now,
to miss it, and if they do, they stream online. We've had customers here that they can't be in their car or at home listening on radio, so they're streaming online listening to you. I do here in my office when I have time to, because, you know, I'm very busy, Frank.
Yeah, I know.
So I still take time to listen to you, and of course, Ian and Dan.
Now, listen, hockey. I know you watch a lot of hockey. Dan, give him your Ken Wilson. By the way, where is Ken Wilson?
He's in Hawaii. Wasn't he, did he become mayor of Hawaii or something. He went to.
Yeah, there's no mayor of Hawaii.
Well, that's he went to Hawaii and got into politics
maybe
somehow.
The governor, maybe the governor of Hawaii.
Oh,
the mayor
maybe
of Honolulu.
It's. I don't know. It's the governor.
No, give him Ken Wilson as the blues. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, baby, tonight's Londoff night here at the Scott Trade Center. The Blues and the San Jose Sharks. Too bad. How long's Ken Wilson been gone? He's been gone.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. I think it was more like, oh, baby. I mean, come on.
Well, now, wait. That sounded just like him.
Wow.
Okay. Sorry, man. Step aside.
Oh, sorry. Wow.
It sounded just like Ken Wilson. You know who else is very distinctive? Al Michaels. Dan, if you could ever work on Al Michaels, he still sounds just as good as he did 20 years ago. And I don't know how old Al Michaels is.
I think John Rooney is unbelievable.
No, John Rooney is flawless.
Sometimes baseball can get kind of boring. Okay?
He's flawless.
He still makes it exciting. And he and Mike Shannon, you can tell, and I've told him this before, you can tell they like each other. And, I mean, they get giggling and laughing just as much as you all do on this program. And you can just tell they're having a blast, whether they're talking about something that happened just now or they're talking about, you know, situations from sometimes 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. They're... You know, their ability, those two, to recall, you know, baseball events from so long ago, it's unbelievable.
That's a goner!
No, that didn't sound like that. John Rooney.
No, Rooney always says it's a goner.
Philly customer about 12 times over.
And let me tell you something. John Rooney has the most perfect diction. There's no way you won't understand every word John Rooney says.
That's right. Me too. I've got pretty good diction.
Mike, I'm sorry. You don't.
No. You know, but
St. Louis still loves you, Mike.
It's fine.
Well, you do. That's it. Londoff love. That's what we're talking about, Frank. Londoff love for the month of
June. Right.
You talk about getting a great deal. And, you know, again, every day we're one day closer to springtime. It's a little chilly out there today, but the sunshine is bright. It'll be light until about probably 6 o'clock. And, you know, it's going to be in the 50s plus this weekend. I just get excited. Just get excited for this time of year because, you know, it wasn't for the birth of Sam Londoff, our second son, February the 20th. My beautiful mother, Sylvia, God bless her. She was the 27th of February. February is just not a – it's just you're just tired of the gray and the trees. And you're ready for springtime. You're ready for that single-syllable month. March. But before we get to March, we got
syllable month. You said that single syllable month. That could be June. That's a single syllable. See, now he doesn't.
No. Oh, boy.
This is awkward.
You know, steaming.
What happened?
I'm steaming right now. My dad used to always say, if you don't have anything nice to say, son, don't say it. So that's what I'm doing right now, Frank. I don't really have anything nice to say.
May is also a single syllable.
You know? Fantastic.
John, let it go. Let it go, John. Let it go.
Fantastic. I can just tell you.
I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching sometimes, how much I use that word.
Sometimes, you know, what was Jackie Gleason's line on The Honeymooners? One of these days, Alice. Wow. One of these days. To the moon. Well, remember that?
Be careful. Don't strain because you might have a bowel movement while you're doing
that. I thought he said he didn't
do impressions. One of these days, Frank. Oh, one of these days.
I thought you said he didn't do impressions.
Well, he just proved he doesn't.
Yeah. What?
Well, he had a fellow. He had another one, though. The other one was, how sweet it is. That was Jackie. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Jackie Gleason there.
You forget if you just suddenly Google some of that stuff, but how funny Jackie Gleason was in the movie, I mean, the program, The Honeymooners. I mean, great acting.
The Honeymooners, but
Bart Carney?
His variety show, though. Not just The Honeymooners. His variety show where he was the bartender. Hey, Mr. Denny. And then the crazy Guggenheim.
Oh, he goes.
Would come to the and then he did Reginald Van Gleason III. I'm going to tell you something. That Jackie Gleason. And he was a terrific dancer, and he conducted orchestras. He wrote music. He was a terrific pool player. And he dressed, he was the best dressed, heavy set guy I ever saw. He always had a carnation. He was dressed immaculately. Yeah, we don't have anybody like that anymore.
Oh, Jonathan, like you sure don't. That, you know, I mean, you're funny. You're kind of close to that kind of.
Not close to that at all. I dress like a slob, and I'm not as funny as he was. Not even close, but thank
you. You're not a slob? What are you wearing today?
Like just a golf shirt sort of thing, and then a shirt over it, like the sweater that serves as like a shirt and jacket, and then some khaki pants. I mean, it's just
he's got it tied
Walmart.
Up.
It's like Walmart stuff.
Kind of looks like Preston Vanderhurst.
Now, if I ever lose weight, I'm going to dress really nice.
Well, you know what? You dress nice. You know, you're fantastic. You dress really, really sometimes just fantastic.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we're going to be here until 6:37, as late as the a.m. and the p.m. crowd. We delivered that adorable lady, Kim, today in her lease. She didn't think that anybody could get her financed, and yes. So please, you know, those, because the a.m. and the p.m. crowd, they come in, and they're blessed. They are all really, so many have just less credit. They're great.
They're in a good mood. They're in a better mood than your other customers.
There's still others that, you know, aren't as blessed, and they need some help, and we're here. We're here to take care of everybody. Whether you want to write us a check, because we still take cash, but the financing rates are so super low, it's a great time to finance, and some great, great lease deals from General Motors Financial, GMF. So come on in, say hello. Please make sure that I get to meet you, because I love the AM and the PM crowd. We like to laugh and giggle, and they love to shake the hand. That is shift the hand of Frank Opinion.
You know what? You ought to have Mary at the front say, are you AM and the PM? If they ask to meet you, she says, you AM the PM? They go, what does that mean? Then she should say, I'm sorry, Mr. Londoff's tied up. You just don't meet them if they're not AM. They don't deserve it.
Well, how about if we just take those that aren't and we convert them? I should start doing that. I bring them.
That's a better idea. That's a better idea.
Offline? No, seriously, a few days this week, I haven't been able to get into my car until later, and I miss getting to listen to the show, because I try to get in the car by 5:30 and get to pick up the last bits of the... I always try to get in just in time to listen to the joke of the day and then the end of the show. But a lot of times I'm streaming online. I mean, you're really very talented.
Which joke? I have two jokes in mind for today. Which one would you rather hear? The joke about the son of an FM DJ or the terrorist joke? That's all I can give you without giving too much away.
The terrorist joke.
Done. See? Done. No, no, that's it. Terrorist joke. That's it. It's done. That's what it'll be.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
No, the clout you have.
For the show.
What's that phone number?
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at lawndoff.com.
All right. We will send you some business. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, I'm a real sharp dresser. I would if I weighed like 210 or something, 200. I think I'd go out and buy a bunch of nice clothes, because you look better in clothes when you're trim. It's hard to look as good when you're heavy.
Yeah.
So you just give up. You just wear nothing, just stuff, cheap stuff. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back, and if we have time, we'll take a couple of calls. And folks, this is Thursday. This is the big day that Scott Sherman comes in the studio, and after the 4 o'clock news break, takes your legal questions and tries to help you. And it's free advice, free, great legal advice. So keep that in mind. I give you the numbers now, but most of you in your cars will save that and give them to you later. We'll take a break. Big 550 KTRS. And a good joke for you today in the Playhouse, terrorist joke. Nothing funnier than a good terrorist joke. So we'll have that. As I said, Scott Sherman, we're going to break here in a minute for news when we come out of it. You'll be prepared to give Scott Sherman a call. Let him help you with your legal problems. Thompson Price Kitchens, Baths, Home. You know what they do? They remodel kitchens and bathrooms. I'm not talking about they come in and repaint the cabinets and maybe give you another fixture on the floor. That's not remodeling. That's just some cosmetic stuff that's not going to change that kitchen into the kitchen of your dreams. This is what they do. And the other thing you need to know is you will get every dollar's worth. And when you step back and look at that kitchen, every time you walk in that kitchen or that bathroom for years and years and years and years, you're going to say to yourself, boy, did we get our money's worth out of this? You talk to anybody you want to, take all the bids you want to. Please make sure the name Price is in at least one of the companies you're talking to. And my guess is that's who you'll go with. They did our kitchen 19 years ago, and we're still happy with it today. Website is thompsonprice.com, showroom in De Pere, Manchester, just less than a half mile east of 270. Thompson Price, kitchens, baths, home. Don't go away. Scott Sherman's coming up after the news. 4 o'clock, Big 550. Sherman's in the room. He's going to be here to talk. In fact, you can say hi now, Scott, if you want.
Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me in again.
Every Thursday, we're going to talk to Scott here in a moment. Before we take your call, let me give you the numbers now, because it's first come, first serve, and every Thursday we have more callers than we can get to. So if you're smart, you jump in now. Any legal question, as long as you keep it to one issue, so that he has time to give you some direction. 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS, or from a cell phone, star KTRS. And Scott can jump in here, and so can Dan. I don't know that the peon is old enough to have remembered when this was as big a deal as it was. Dan, do you remember when everybody you worked with, not everybody, but probably several somebodies came to you with every town, every office's local version of a pyramid scheme?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And if I remember, it was some goofy thing like, give me, $100 and go get two people to give you. I don't even remember how it worked, but I cannot believe how many people went for that.
But they still do it today. There's still pyramid schemes today.
And I guess the reason I'm mentioning this is because this Madoff thing. Scott, did you watch the Bernie Madoff first part of it last night?
You know, I wish I had. I did not.
Oh, my God. It was so good. And even though I didn't understand it, my take on what he did, brilliantly. I know he's a criminal, but he's a genius, brilliant criminal. Because anybody that can compile, you know, $70 billion from people, and you got to be really slick and smart, because a lot of the people he took money from weren't dummies. They were hedge fund managers. I mean, they were smart people. And it reminded me of when, I forgot where I worked, but somebody came and this was many years ago, and said, here, you give me this, then you go get this from two other people, and then those two will get from two other people. That's four people. And the only people that made me money were the people that started it. It was that original person that said, hey, give me $100, and then go get money from other people, and you give me half of that, and you keep half. And it was just a weird deal. It had to be illegal.
It was. And there's two guys in my fraternity that did that to the other guys in the fraternity and built them out of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you're actually screwing your friends.
Yeah. And there was a thing in St. Louis about 10 years ago. There was something, the birthday party scam, or the gifting program. They did this very same thing, a bunch of housewives in Chesterfield. And I was in court when they got sentenced. It was actually kind of funny. And they supposedly ran it by this big-time lawyer in St. Louis who said it was okay. It was nothing but a con job. Give me money, and then later I'll give you back money. But you have to get money from somebody else for nothing.
Yeah, and you have to go get more.
Yeah.
Than you gave me, but then those people will get more than you. I don't know. It gives me a headache to try to remember how we did it. But it was a big deal.
Yeah,
it was a big deal. Now the Madoff thing. This is interesting to watch. And he got 150 years in prison. One of his sons committed suicide, and the other son died of cancer. My take on what he did in the simplest of terms is let's say. Let's say a peon invests $100 with me, and I get Dan to invest $100 with me, and I get you, Scott. You all three, you give me $100, okay? I have $300. I'm going to make more money for you, and I turn around, and in a year, I give peon $150. And he goes, oh, my goodness, 50% of my money. I give Dan 150, and I give you 150, but I've also taken 100 from all these other people, and some of them, they aren't going to get anything back, but the ones who did are the ones I know will tell other people, oh, man, you got to let this guy, you got to let this, and word gets out, and next thing you know, everybody's giving him not 100, but millions, and tens of millions, based on his, quote, reputation.
Right.
It's astounding what this guy did.
And the guys that own the Mets, the Wilpons, they almost lost the Mets because of their investment that they gave to Bernie Madoff.
Well, Kevin Bacon and his wife lost most of their net worth to Madoff. And I think a lot of people, the reason you don't know a lot of big, big names is they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. They're embarrassed that they were taken for the ride, this guy. And I guarantee you, prison's the best place for him because somebody would kill him if he were free. They'd kill him. It's a terrific story. And the second part's on tonight, Channel 30. I think it's just called Madoff. Richard Dreyfuss plays Bernie Madoff. And I think it's okay if you pick it up tonight and didn't see that. Because what you missed in the first was just this lavish, unbelievable lifestyle. And his meeting with various people, and some of them were really high rollers. And part of his game, brilliant strategy, was he, if you went to him and had heard how great he was at picking stocks and investing money, and you go to Bernie, I'd like for you to manage my hedge fund, or I'd like, he'd go, you know what, I'm not taking any new investors on that. And that was brilliant, because he had people begging him to let them in. Just if I can just get in on this, Bernie, I'll tell you what, I'll see what I can do, but I don't think there are any more shares to be had. It's the greatest study in the psychology of greed that you'll probably, now there's another movie that's coming out or something, and I forgot who else, somebody else is playing Bernie Madoff, and I had it and I just lost it. I'll see how it compares to the TV thing. I'm going to do one bit of business, then we're going to take your calls. I see calls stacking up. Let me give the numbers one more time. I'll do my business, and we'll turn to Scott. 314-969-KTRS. 888-550-KTRS, or from any cell phone, *KTRS. S-C-H. See, I don't have to finish it, because every listener finished it. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. Schaefer. You know the name. You know, if what I thought about this yesterday, I think it'd be a smart and a dumb thing to do, but I wonder if anybody has ever thought, hey, I'm going to open a body shop, and I'm going to call it S-H-A-F-E-R Auto Body. Just confuse people. I think you'd probably, Scott, they could probably be taken to court for that, don't you think? Too close, deliberately naming it something just like Schaefer. I think they'd be smacked in court.
Playing on their reputation, that would be their goodwill. That's a trademark. I mean, they have the best.
And even though they didn't copy the spelling to the letter, it's still close enough. They're hijacking it.
Fooling people into believing that's Schaefer.
Exactly. Well, folks, there's only one Schaefer. There are 10 locations, but there's only one Schaefer, and there's a C in there. That's C-H-A-E-F-E-R. And if you're in an accident, you're going to want to send us a thank you card after you do business with Schaefer for the first time, because they are that good. Their body work is that good. Their service is that good. They're efficient. They work in a timely manner. They're not going to rush it through. They want the vehicle to look perfect. They want it as badly as you do because their reputation's on the line, and they want you to tell everybody for the rest of your life that you run into, wow, you got to take that vehicle to Schaefer. And they want your business, not just this time, but 7 years from now when you're in an accident again, because the average is every 7 years. That's the average that most people are in a body shop. Some more, some less. You live in deer country where I live, you're going to be in there more than every 7 years. But just remember to tell your insurance company you want the best, because they do too. They're paying for most of this. S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. 10 locations, the newest in Columbia, Missouri. Schaefer Auto Body Centers. You can also go to SchaeferAutoBody.com. I love singing along with this.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who is against.
That music means it's time for Scott Sherman, and he's an attorney. After the segment, we'll give you his email address. If you have a neighbor who's driving you insane or throwing his dog's poop into your yard, or you got some problem with your wife or ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife, or you think you were mistreated at work, whatever, dial us up. You have the numbers. We're going to start with Aaron. Aaron, say hi to Scott Sherman.
I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you. Thank you. What do you have for Scott?
My wife had an accident at work 3 years ago, and we've just now settled with the, we have an attorney, and he just now finally settled with the employer. She's a teacher. Now he's going to go to the second injury fund, and he's going to try and get her total disability. Now, does that conflict with her state retirement? If she gets total disability, does she still get her state retirement?
If she's vested in her pension, she should be just fine.
So one doesn't affect the other at all?
No. The second injury fund is something that used to be well dipped into by lawyers that work in workers' compensation, where you reach a certain threshold on your primary injury, and then you say, oh, by the way, 5 years ago I had one, and guess what? I didn't get paid on it, so I need a second dip into this pool. Well, of course, they've drained that pool. But good luck to her lawyer on getting the second injury fund money for her. And if she's eligible for disability, good luck on that, too. I'm sorry she's that injured. But that should not affect either her ability to continue to work if she chooses, or her ability to be vested in whatever pension she has through the teachers' union.
Right. She is vested, and she's planning on retiring at the end of this year.
She should be fine, and the second injury fund should not implicate that, nor should it have anything to do with disability as far as the ability to earn a living. The disability is the level of injury that that person sustained that triggers a second, say, slot machine payoff. It's almost like a progressive slot machine payoff. But my people that work in the workers' compensation world have not been that successful with getting money out of the second injury fund. I wish you, your wife, and your lawyer all the best and good luck, and especially her, good health.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Right.
Thank you, Aaron. Joe is next. Joe, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Scott, I got a question about property fraud.
Okay.
Understand that property fraud or house stealing is becoming more of a problem in the country with the availability of quick claim deeds available on the internet and through office supply stores, or if you had any suggestions for property owners as to how to avoid this scam.
And what Joe's alluding to are people that go on and forge the signature of the titled owner of real estate into the name of somebody else. It's complete crime. It's a total fraud.
How can you even possibly get away with this?
Well, with the way computer stuff works and with the way in which things are electronic, somebody who can steal your credit card information could then go in to a database for the Recorder of Deeds office and forge some kind of documents and electronically file them. What I would suggest is if somebody has a concern about this, go and do a search at the Recorder of Deeds office for yours. And get a copy of your deed, have it with you, and check it. And if you live in St. Louis County, it's free. Check it once in a while. And if something comes up at your address that's weird, contact the authorities immediately. There have been people who have had a knock at their door and a moving van's out front with people that supposedly bought their house or that owned the house.
But to buy a house, you have to go to closing? And how can that possibly
be? Well, sometimes the third party buys it from the scammer, or the scammer will show that they have the deed. Then they'll go and get a mortgage out on it. But if you do a check of your real estate, and the Recorder of Deeds office is easier to deal with than it ever has been, and just see if something weird is on there. There might be something as weird as somebody taking out $10,000 mortgage by forging the document. So is it a huge problem? No, unless it's your house.
Joey, is the reason you ask this, is somebody trying to steal your house?
No, I've just heard the information on the radio where people are advertising, trying to get you to buy protection.
Oh, let me tell you something. Can I say something about this, Joe? They inflate this problem to make it seem much bigger than it is, to get people like you to go, man, I wonder if somebody's trying to steal my identity. So they can sell you this ridiculous protection plan. Scott, am I right?
You're right.
They blow this way out of proportion because they have a product to sell.
And on the real estate side, it's nothing you can't do yourself. By doing a search online, Joe, do you live in St. Louis County by chance?
Yes.
Okay. St. Louis County has a great website. It's great not because I know anybody there, but it's great because unlike most counties in the United States, you don't have to pay anything to do a search for your address or your name. Put your address in it, and that will show who it's recorded in. If you want a copy of your deed, you can go to the recorded deeds, like $7 or something.
Joe, it's kind of like LifeLock. This LifeLock thing where they go, hey, we'll protect you. You can do the exact same thing yourself and not pay anybody. You just contact the three big credit agencies and say, hey, I want to be alerted. I've done it. And they've contacted me and say, hey, somebody's trying to use your card number. You can do it yourself. But I wouldn't be too concerned about it because, like Scott said, I don't think this is a huge problem.
It's not. And, Joe, my understanding of this is that it has become a problem in the foreclosure properties, the distressed properties that people walked away from where they're not really sure exactly who owns that stuff. But if you're in good stead or you've paid your mortgage, do a quick search with the St. Louis County website real estate section. They didn't change it. If something weird comes up, you contact the FBI and the police. But they're not going to steal your house 99.99999%. Not going to happen.
Okay. Appreciate your help.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Aaron is next. Aaron, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Oh, we already talked to Aaron.
Oh, we did talk to Aaron. We did?
No,
that was Aaron. That was Aaron. And Aaron is gone. Aaron, and now we have Mary Alice. Mary Alice, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mary Alice.
I'm AM and PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I have a question about a name change. I want to change not just my last name, but the way my first name is spelled.
Okay.
I understand if I wanted to change just my last name, I just take my divorce decree from 10 years ago, and I don't know to whom I take it, but I can just change my name, and it's not a huge process. But if I want to change my first name the way it's spelled as well, that I have to not only use the divorce decree, but I have to plead to the court to change my name and also put it in the paper and lots of different things.
I have represented people on name changes before. It's the least stressful type of court thing. It costs a little bit of money, but if you really want to change it, you have a lawyer, they file a petition, they send out some notice. Nobody objects. You're not going to change your name to, you know, Genghis Khan or something. I mean, you're not going to say change your name to Bernie Madoff or you know, Schaefer Autobot. Or Scott Sherman.
So
you're not going to do anything that's going to raise any eyebrows or implicate anybody's trademark or anything. So you get a lawyer. They file all the documents for you. You come to court one time. The judge is super nice to you. You sit in the box. They say, is this what you want to do? Are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you positive this is what you want to do? And then they write an order and your name is changed. If this bugs you and you've been wanting to do this, I look at it like this. If somebody wanted to go get Botox or go get a tummy tuck, go ahead and do it. It's your thing. Don't let anybody stand in your way. And the court won't do anything bad to you, and when you're done, you'll feel better if you want to do it. How much will it cost you? We could talk about that off the air. It's not that expensive.
Mary Alice, my question is, if you don't mind, is your name really Mary Alice?
It really is. It's just that it's two names,
right.
And
what do you want to change it to?
To one, I just want to put it together, and the reason being is because my maiden name, if I don't put it together and people just call me Mary, it'll rhyme with my maiden name, which is my surname. I am so vain, you know, that I just don't want that.
Sounds like the perfect thing for court. They will love this case. So if you're really thinking about it, you know, it's not going to be that expensive. And they'll give it to you. And if you want to do it, right?
Well, yeah, I'm going to do it. It's
beautiful.
Just a matter of the process. So
the process is easy.
Okay.
Where does she go? Where does she go first? Where does she get a lawyer, right?
Yeah. Okay. Get a lawyer. Then the lawyer will know how to do this. Then you tell them what you want your name to be, and they'll file the papers, and you go to court one time. Done. 10 minutes.
It sounds like I have a lawyer.
Oh, ooh.
Scott. Hey. Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
It sounds like I have a lawyer.
Look at that. I will not change my email before you call.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary Alice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly on the subject, can you can pretty much take any name you want. Can you give yourself a profane name? I mean, I've read about these guys. Goes, some guy's name is something.com or something.
Yeah.
Can you, or do the courts restrict and go, nah, you can't name yourself.
Is it like license plates?
Yeah, because it might offend somebody. What's the deal on a name change?
It is in the judge's discretion. I think there was a guy that wanted to name his kid Adolf Hitler. And they said no.
Who would want to do that?
Some guy that really is nuts and loves Adolf Hitler. And the judge said, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Because it's cruel to the kid.
Because it's not in the best interest of this child. If some adult wanted to try to do that, I think the court would still have some sort of discretion in that. But it's a privacy issue in some ways.
If you want to name yourself Doo-Doo Feces, Doo-Doo Feces Thompson, or Doo-Doo Feces Johnson, or Doo-Doo, you could do that.
I think you could. I think you could make a strong privacy argument that it's not the state's business what you call yourself.
That's Mary Alice, you might want to think about going with Doo-Doo Feces.
That's my new radio name.
What, Doo-Doo Feces?
Yeah.
We're going to take Matt, and then we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and take more calls. Matt, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hello, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Recently agreed to purchase some property from a landowner who was part of their estate, and then a couple weeks after that, the landowner passed away. And we're trying to figure out at this point where we are at as far as following through with that purchase.
I have one question.
I have the same question.
Go ahead, Frank.
Is there any paperwork here on this?
Yes, we did sign an agreement.
Now, Scott, you can take it from there.
That agreement and real estate transactions must be in writing is enforceable against the party in sort of in the stead of the deceased individual. So you could enforce that against the state or whoever it is that got a hold of that. Maybe they got it through right of survivorship. I think you can enforce this agreement. I think you're going to need a real estate lawyer unless they say, okay, we'll go through with this transaction. But I think you have a pre-death agreement. I believe it is enforceable because real estate transactions are all unique and they should be enforceable in a court of equity as a your right to finish that transaction.
I have a question for Matt. Matt, I'm assuming this guy who died, his signature is on this agreement, right?
Yes.
Oh, I think you're in good shape.
Matt, you got a good shot at this thing.
All right.
Okay, they came to us and asked if we would sign a release on that so we could put the entire property up for sale at the same time. And we didn't know. I mean, I felt like we could enforce this, but I didn't know how far to push it.
Push it. You like the deal?
Yeah.
Get a real estate lawyer. Get a real estate lawyer and push the deal. Force the deal.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm gonna send you folks to Amini's and I'll tell you why. Then we'll take a quick break and we come back. Make a note of these numbers because when we come back, it's gonna fly by. 314-969-KTRS. 888-550-KTRS or from a cell phone, any cell phone, *KTRS. One of the things Amini's sells a lot of, in addition to patio furniture and pinball games and arcade games and shuffleboard and home theater furniture and lighting, Jaffe lighting, is area rugs. When you see how many rugs they have, you'll be blown away. I've been in rug stores. I've been in Oriental rug stores. I guess you can still say, I don't know what you can say anymore. I think you can still say Oriental rugs. And I've been in stores where that's all they sold. Amini's has more than those stores. And some of these are handmade. And if you know anything about, then they have machine-made rugs, too, that are beautiful. But if you know anything about these handmade, Persian rugs or Chinese rugs or what most people categorize in lump category of Oriental rugs, you study about them, you learn about them, you know how many thousands of hours are put in. In some cases, families will make one of these rugs, and it might take them a year or two to make it. And they last. I can't say forever, because forever is actually forever. They're going to outlast you and your kids and their kids. That's one of the reasons they cost what they do. Here's the deal at Amini's. This deal expires the 11th of this month. Pay on, get a calendar, find out what the 11th is. What day is it? It's probably the end of next week. Till the 11th of this month, if you buy any handmade... Next Thursday. You buy any handmade rug at Amini's, on sale even, you get a second rug of equal or lesser value for half that rug's price. Now, yeah. We've lived in our house for... it's 30 years this year. The very first thing we put in our house before a stick of furniture, before a bar stool, an end table, the first thing that went down in the great room was an Oriental rug. And I had wanted one of these things because I used to work for a guy, and he knew everything about handmade rugs. So I had sort of made it a goal. I'm going to start a rug fund, and I'm going to buy a really nice rug for that room. It's a big room. This is like a 12 by 15 rug. The rug was $10,000 30 years ago. I bought it and put it down there. If you walk in my house right now, that rug, after 30 years, and it's in the room where most of the traffic is, it's the great room where the TV is, the main room, it looks exactly like it looked the day we put it in. There's no fading. The stains, whatever was spilled on it, came right. It's beyond belief that a rug could take this kind of use, and in some cases, I guess in some homes, abuse, and still be that beautiful. So that 10 grand, while at the time I thought, what am I doing? What in the world am I doing paying $10,000 for a rug? Well, and now I know what I was doing. I was doing what my boss at the time told me I would never be sorry I did. If you've ever had the urge, or maybe you already know about rugs and you have some rugs, you want a handmade rug. And they're not all 10 grand, okay? Some of them are more. Some are less. Check out this sale. The information, the date of the 11th, the deadline for this, it's all at Amini's website. And that website, and by the way, this is only one reason you should go to Amini's. And once you go to the site, you'll find all kinds of other reasons. But all the information on this rug sale is at Amini's, A-M-I-N-I-S, Amini's.com. Oh, yeah, I get to sing again.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong?
We're back with Scott Sherman. Let's see if we can help another person or two before we have to... hit the news and in the Playhouse. Tom, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Great, Tom.
First of all, AM and the PM.
That's good to know.
Hallelujah. Scott, this is more of an, I'm not sure. Anyway, here's the deal.
But anyway.
Yeah, you did it.
I know. Here's the deal. Some little J.O. last week brought a gun to my daughter's high school. And they found it, whatever, the police were involved. And now she just told me that they're allowing him back in next week because it wasn't loaded. Is there any kind of law in Missouri that, or is it per school district, do you know?
Missouri has this something called the Safe Schools Act, where they have to make the environment of the school reasonably safe from the threats of real violence. It's so amorphous that all those words like reasonable and all of that get applied, depending on what district it is, who the superintendent is, and what their policy is about people that get in trouble. I have had clients of mine who were beaten up and almost killed at a bus stop. That kid, that the bully was allowed back in school until lawyers got involved. So I empathize 100% with you and your daughter and other kids in the school, as much as I am a Second Amendment proponent and somebody that believes in rights. Bringing a gun, unloaded or not, to a public school is grounds for expulsion, because if it was loaded, you could have Sandy Hook.
Scott, let me ask a question. What if Tom and 100 other parents said, we're not letting our kids go back into that school till you get rid
of this
kid?
That's what I'm thinking.
And you know what the only movement that's been, just look up at Columbia, Missouri. Where was the movement from that jerk woman who still hasn't lost her job, pushing that kid around, doing his job? The media. So if you and a bunch of other student or parents of students are worried about the safety, you have every First Amendment right.
Get your kids and all of you stand out in front of that school and picket and say, we are not sending our kids back into the school until this little scumbag is suspended.
And when the media shows up, they'll change it. They are spineless bureaucrats, and they call them the administration for a reason. When the kids are at risk, you have to, as a parent, do what's best for your kid.
Well, to the parents of the Timberland High School, Wentzville School District that are listening, and I'm sure there's a lot, let's get on the ball. I'm ready to do it.
Tom, strength in numbers. Facebook, this is where Facebook is going to come in handy.
Yeah, and it's a traditional public forum. Stay on the sidewalk. Don't block the egress or exit of the school buses. Don't disrupt the school day. But you have every right to picket, protest, and let your feelings know as a taxpayer that this government entity is not doing its job, just keeping your kids as safe as they can.
Okay, Tom?
I appreciate it, and thanks for your service, and Frank, thanks for all you do.
Well, you're welcome. I'm a giving kind of guy. Thank you, Tom. Don is next, and Don, I'm sorry we only have about 2 minutes. What do you got for Scott Sherman?
Amen to PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. My question is about my son. He's about 3 weeks ago, he started getting hounded by a company called ARA out of Chicago, their collection agency.
Mm-hmm.
He swears up and down that it's not his debt. And I wonder, according to them, this debt was occurred in 1999.
How old is your son? How old is your son?
He's 31 now.
I don't need to say it. Go ahead, Scott.
The statute of limitations, even on a written contract, is only 10 years. Tell these people to go stick it, and if you want, you can send them a letter to that effect, a Fair Debt Collection Practices letter. You can contact a consumer lawyer. And if they don't stop every time they harass you for this ridiculous, uncollectible debt, you can get $1,000.
Yeah, because now they're starting to send stuff to my wife and I to get him to pay this.
Okay, but Scott, this son's 31 years old. Don can't do anything.
Don
doesn't have to
pay nothing. This is an uncollectible debt, even if it was ever his debt.
It's not
they
yours.
Know it. And they're harassing you. Got to send him.
We figured he was 16 or 17 when this happened.
Have your son download a copy of a Fair Debt Collection Practices cease and desist letter. They're on the internet. They're free. You send it certified. You send it regular to these skunks, you say, "Leave me alone." And when they don't, keep records of every time they harass you. Tape the phone calls if you can. Get a consumer lawyer and sue them in federal court, and you will get money from them. They are parasites collecting something that they have no right to collect.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you give me that?
I would Google.
No, he wants your email address, I think.
Mine? LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then you can Google Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, FDCPA letter. They're everywhere. Print it out. Put your kids in, have him put his information and send it to him. Ignore these fools.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck, Don. Thank you. Don's a good dad.
That's right.
He's concerned, but what Don has to realize is this is not on him. They need to leave him alone. It's not his debt.
Right.
Son's 31 years old. Hit that theme music, if you would, please. Well, another opportunity to help a lot of people. Let's give a big round of applause for Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Scott. And one last time, give them your email address.
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
All right, we'll do it again next Thursday. A lot of people need a lot of help. Not everybody has the money to go pay an attorney what I would think would be at least $200, $300, $400, maybe $500 to have done what Scott just did for these people. I am all caught up, am I not, Peon? We need to check traffic?
We can.
Let's check on some traffic. Tim Weiland is back after a day off yesterday. Tim, how's it looking?
FM.
And we're full of chit, and we think you'll get lots of
big, good-looking, rugged, strong, macho men.
What?
Oh.
I recognize that voice.
Wow.
I'm not going to say who I think it was because I'm not positive, so we'll just let it go. Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the February 4th edition of Pinions Playhouse, brought to you by Mark and Jason. As in Mark Gruden and Jason Becker, financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus. Yeah, I bet you can't right off the top of your head do that member NYSE.
SIPC and NYSE.
Whoa!
Boy, did I misread you.
You sure did.
Hang on. I'm just reaching for something. There.
Hey! Be careful, don't
reach. Yeah, don't reach.
Well, I got to be very careful where I put things because years ago I spilled a drink in the console and it fried the, you know, the main motherboard or whatever. Yep. So I have to be very careful how I do that now. Well, let's do a round of introductions. What do you say at the control board? It is none other than Eon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I also would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are, of course, financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus, which once again is a member of the SIPC and NYSE. And if you are concerned about the future of your investments, it may be smart to get a fresh perspective with Mark and Jason. For their phone number and more, go to markandjason.com. Hello to the chicks.
And you'll be hearing more about Mark and Jason in just mere moments. But first, let's introduce the show's bass player. Now, he doesn't play with Bruce Limprist and the All Boy Orchestra. They don't allow any outsiders to come in. And it's a union deal. It's very complicated. But he does play with the, what's the name of your band?
The Southside Johnny Band.
Yes, that's it, the Southside Johnny. What's coming up for those guys?
We're at the Midway Bar and Grill in St. Genevieve, Missouri. The home of Bernice.
When?
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Starting at 8:30.
Here now is Dan Strauss in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan, say hi to your... No, you don't have a sponsor, do you?
Hi,
okay,
everybody.
How's it going?
Great.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? Yeah, edit that out. I got confused for a second.
SIPC and NYSE.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, hey, folks, you try doing this 12 hours a week. Yeah. You get confused, too. It's not that easy. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. Bernice is in heaven. You know, somebody just sent me an email today, said don't forget that March, I think they said March 9th.
Oh, I got that too. Yes,
that
it
Bernice
is. March
died
9th, 2003.
In 03, 13
wow.
years ago. Wow.
And on her tombstone, it says forever AM and B.
Forever AM and B. Yeah. That's why Bernice is the greatest. Even if she's still crotchety and mean, even in heaven, she's still the greatest. And, oh, my goodness, right? Boy, I think that's fantastic. He says he's going to go to her grave next month.
Oh.
And look at what he's got over there. He's got, he has carved out forever AM and the PM. What's that made out of?
Cheese.
Cheese carving.
Oh.
Like an ice or butter carving. Well done, Rat Boy. Give it up, if you would, for Bruce Limprist and the All Boy Orchestra. Yeah. You know, it's been so long now that there are, I'm sure, lots of listeners who have no idea who Bernice, when we say Bernice, they don't know who that is. Anybody who started listening in the last 13 years.
Yeah, I've had a couple people call and ask about Bernice.
But we can't eliminate her from the show.
No.
We can't do it. I couldn't sleep at night if I did that. And she's looking down on us. She'd get us if we did that. We are brought to you by Mark and Jason, and that is Mark Reardon and Jason Becker, financial planners. It was a week ago Monday, this past Monday, that I had my quarterly meeting. And I appreciate the way they work, and I think you will too. And again, it's advice. That's what it is, advice. They're not going to tell you what you have to do. You don't even have to call them. But I think it would be a good idea, especially if you're changing jobs. Now, naturally, when somebody retires, you need the best advice you can get, because that retirement thing, I can imagine, I'm not there yet, but I can imagine that's pretty scary, because all of a sudden, that paycheck's not coming anymore. It'll never come again. You have to rely on, you know, whatever profit-sharing, pension, 401k, your own personal savings, all that stuff. So it's a good idea to talk to somebody. We would, of course, highly recommend that you make that somebody Mark and Jason. You can find out their number and everything else at markandjason.com. You'll call them. You'll set up the meeting. They'll make it so convenient for you. If they have to come to you, they'll come to you. And as you heard Peon say earlier, Stiefel Nicholas and Company, member SIPC and NYSE. And he and I both say that because we do not want to go to prison.
No.
No.
That's a serious, serious offense if you don't say that. Again, markandjason.com.
We didn't forget it.
From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And don't forget, you can also download the app STL Taxi. It's real easy, and it's free, and it's a great way to get the only cab you should ever be seen riding in if you're AM and the PM, and that's a Laclede Cab. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic. Scientists in California say they are developing a high-tech device that will help obese people know if they're eating too much and not exercising enough.
I already know that.
I think we have this. It's called a scale.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a new poll shows that Hillary Clinton is only 6 points ahead of Bernie Sanders nationwide. Yeah. Today, a very confident Hillary said, oh, please, come on, not like I'm going to lose a Democratic nomination to a left-wing senator nobody's ever heard of. That's not ever happened. Yeah.
What?
What?
It happened last time. Remember, she was supposed to win it
that's
all.
That's right, Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Obama, okay, I get it now. I get it. We have
it
a short all memory.
Right. That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to try something new here. We like to reinvent my
comedy?
Oh.
Sorry, sometimes we're cruel. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry, the phone cut out. Did you say something?
Well, you said, we didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So throughout the week, what I do is I see headlines, and I jot down the headlines, and if once in a while I'm able to come up with something, hopefully witty, a lot of times not, I put them together and you hear them on the show. So I have, at the end of the week, I have all of these, at least wasted, basically, headlines. So I thought I would share with you four or five of the headlines, so they don't go unwasted. So if you want to talk about it, that's great. If you don't care, you want to say, oh, who cares, that's fine.
Are these real headlines, or did you make these up?
No, I never make up any headline. Everything I ever mention, it's all real, but you add a little punchline to it.
Hang on a second. I got wind that you were going to do this, and I contacted Jay Leno earlier today, because Jay Leno had tremendous success with headlines, and I said, Jay, how do you think Bill will do with this headline thing? Here's what he said.
I think Bill will do great with headlines. You know, it's one of the things the audience loves. You have a card with a headline on it. I don't know how I'll do it on the radio.
There you go. Endorsement for Jay Leno. Wow. Jay's always so good to talk with us.
All right. So maybe if this works out, we'll present a few of these on Thursday. Stuff that I wasn't able to come up with a joke for, but I think they should be told anyway. All right. The first one, a couple at Walmart in Milwaukee have been arrested after fighting each other in the store and covering one another in silly string.
Silly string?
That's the headline?
That's the headline. It's an actual headline. You can say who cares. It's okay.
They covered themselves in headlines.
That is it. Okay, here we go. A woman is in the news for listing her house for sale after she claims ghosts keep smacking her on the ass.
Okay, next.
North Korea has been bombing South Korea with balloons full of used toilet paper.
I got Jay on by satellite again.
Okay, let's hear what he has to say.
Jay, you still think this is a good idea for Bill?
So maybe headline only works on TV. Maybe radio is just losing some of its luster.
Well, Jay, I think you're wrong. I'm hanging up on Jay. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, they hang up on him. What the heck does he know?
I didn't know.
Doctors in India discovered a girl has an ant nest inside her ear.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's kind of gross. And the last one here, this is a true story. This is a real headline. Hey. Elderly man.
Cut it out.
Yeah, stop it.
Elderly man in the UK who died while having sex is wheeled away by paramedics with a prostitute still attached to him.
Oh, yeah. How can that
A picture of the guy. And,
Kevin,
he's got
did you hear that one, on Kevin? He did the lamp in?
Jay's mic's still on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, turn their mics off.
Kevin, what'd you think of that
one,
Kevin?
Man, that was funny.
Oh, okay, hang on a second. Let me...
Uh-oh.
He's tearing it out.
Never doing that again.
Promise?
Yeah, all right.
First and last.
Wow.
Hey, if it make you feel better, Bill, a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and Piano remembered this, some listener said it would be a good idea. Said, why don't you ever try letting listeners, because most of them in their cars, honk their horns, and you guess what kind of car they have. No.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe there's something there. So we went on. And I'm not kidding. I said, all right, everybody listening, roll down the window so your cell phone will pick up your horn and blow your horn. Let's see if we can tell what kind of car you have. It was the dumbest.
It was a big flop.
It could not have flopped bigger or faster. So,
one, you could barely
learn.
Hear it. And then, two, trying to distinguish a horn to of a car.
It's ridiculous. I don't even know why I thought that would be a good idea. It's just stupid.
Because someone said car.
So, Bill,
like
we've
cars.
All been there.
Yeah. Well, I still don't think it's stupid. I just don't think you guys got it. I think it was your problem.
Oh, it's us.
Oh, he's
no,
you
know, no,
oh,
he's, no. You know what? He's probably right. It's just us.
No.
It's just us and every other listener.
Have you been going to counseling, Bill? Is that what happened?
Have I been going to counseling?
Yeah.
Did you hire a consultant or something for your career?
No, I always feel bad at the end of the week throwing all that away, and so I thought.
Now you feel bad you didn't throw it away.
Yeah, don't
now
feel bad.
Now I'm really going to throw it away. The Bill Clemmons segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM Cab Company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Clemmons on the Big 515 KTR.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Clemmons, who can take a licking and keep on ticking.
Yep.
He takes a beating.
She had an ant nest in her ear.
Turn Jay's mic.
Ant nest in her ear.
Turn Jay's
mic. Jay, that's funny.
Oh, boy. The Bernie Madoff Part 2 thing is on tonight. The last time I'll mention it, but it's that good that I'm just throwing it out there. ABC, Channel 30, Madoff. I don't know what time. I'm guessing 7 or 8 o'clock. If you've never been on YouTube and watched surgeries...
Watch surgeries on YouTube?
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't do it. And I'll tell you why. There are a couple of surgeries that I might be looking at down the road, and I wanted to know more about them, so I made the mistake of going on YouTube. And what will happen is they're put up on YouTube by doctors. They're medical training videos, so it's the real thing. I mean, it is. You are right in there in the person's stomach or rectum or whatever it is, their eyeball. Oh, my goodness. It's fascinating, but don't ever watch something you may have to go through. It's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. It would be like if you are going to have your wisdom teeth taken out. Don't go in there and watch that being done. Yeah. It'll scare you to death. I don't even think you should go watch a colonoscopy because what you'll see is the camera and the tube and the whole hose going up. Don't do it. Don't do it. But if it's not something you're going to have, do it because it is beyond fascinating. You can watch brain surgery on YouTube. You can watch any of this. It used to be the TLC. Remember the Learning Channel when they did a lot of that stuff. You can watch spinal fusion on YouTube. So you just pretty much type in the bar any procedure, and man, you can see it in full HD color just as the doctor sees it, and you can see the little robotic. Arms and they tie and suture with these little robotic clamps. I don't know how in the world they do that stuff. So it's there if you want to look at it. The Democratic debate is tonight, and I think it's on CBS Channel 4. Can anybody believe that 74-year-old Bernie Sanders is doing as well as he's doing? I thought sure when this guy came on the scene. I thought, hey, this is funny. Good luck.
He's holding his own. Oh, yeah. He is, man. He's
people are tired of the politicians that we've had over the last. They're just sick of all the same.
All the political crap.
That's why you see Trump and Sanders at the head of this, because people are just fed up with the same old.
But Sanders is a politician.
No, he is, but he's not. He's
not the status quo.
Yeah, not the status quo. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's. I'm astounded that he's doing this well. And that's not a comment on whether I think he's good or bad. I just am surprised that a 74. Look, if he goes the 8 years, he'd be 80 years old. No, he'd be 82. 82 by the time his two terms are over, if he gets in there. The key to this guy, if he gets in, is a really young, healthy running mate. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
He can't grab a running mate like, what was that guy, Admiral Stockton?
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if he announced a running mate who's like 78 years old?
Yeah,
you got a good, funny show. The debate's tonight. I'll record it or watch it. But I don't know why, because we'll see whatever highlights there. If somebody gets a zinger in, they'll show the highlights. That's really all you need. There's a woman named Kim Anami. She teaches vaginal kung fu. She lifts things with her vagina.
Wow.
And she maintains, and I might add, there are a couple of gynecologists quoted in this article as saying this is actually a really good idea and real healthy. She puts an object, I'm trying to know how to describe this thing. Think of it as like an egg, and it's jade. It's an egg-shaped piece of jade, and then there's a thin string that comes out of it, and then she attaches things to that screen. And so the jade egg is inserted, and then she squats down and lifts significantly heavy things with her vagina. And she says, sex for me is a personal growth tool. It's a healing, revitalizing, self-actualizing, whatever that means, part of a healthy lifestyle. Mm. And I've always felt very aware of my sexual energy and had an interest in how to make sex even better. And she claims this will change not only women's lives, but men's lives. She calls it vaginal kung fu. And it was actually started about 20 years ago. She picks up coconut. A coconut's pretty heavy when it's, full of coconut stuff. She can pick that up. She can pick up a lot of housework. She can even pick up a surfboard using her,
Whoa.
So, ladies, she says it'll cure depression. It empowers you. And you won't ever need Botox. Not sure how that works if you'll practice vaginal kung fu.
Oh.
So she said it helps with everything. I mean, it helps with all aspects. You just be a happier
vagina.
That's right, Paul Harris. You had to say it.
Oh, man, that guy.
Harvey, I think.
What?
Yeah, that was Paul Harvey.
Oh, okay. And this is kind of scary, but it might make a lot of people feel better who haven't saved any money. It shouldn't make you feel any better, but here's a fact. This is right out of the money section of USA Today, and I cut this out yesterday because I was stunned by this. Millennials are people 18 to 34. Peon, you're not really a millennial, are you?
No.
You're just missed outside of that. 50%, and this is after interviewing and researching and questioning lots of people, 50% of people 18 to 34 have less than $1,000 saved. 50%. Get this number. 62% of all Americans have less than $1,000 saved. That's scary, man, because people are living. That's why you see so many Walmart greeters and stuff. They're out living their money. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
Dedicate the joke to John Londoff, because you heard me promise that I gave him a choice. Son of an FM DJ joke or terrorist joke, and he chose the terrorist. There's a guy walking around a marina, just looking at boats. Marinas are nice, relaxing places to walk. They're also kind of depressing because you see all these big boats and yachts. And so he's walking around, and he sees a guy yelling down at one of the slips, and he's yelling, "Allah be praised, death to all infidels." He's screaming this at the top of his lungs. And he's got a bunch of explosives strapped to him. And he trips and falls in the water. And he's struggling because the explosives are heavy. And he's really trying his best to keep his head above water. And the guy who sees all this is thinking, well, he's a human being. And I just think that you need to do something to help anybody who's in distress. So he contacted the police, the Coast Guard, Homeland Security, and the fire department. 20 minutes goes by, and the guy drowns. The terrorist with the explosive drown. He's floating face down. It's obvious he's drowned. And another guy walks up to the first guy who's been watching this and says, hey, what's going on? Hey, he says, is that a guy? Are you looking at a guy out there that face down floating? Is that a body? Is that a human being? He goes, yeah. He goes, he's been out there about 20 minutes. Pretty sure he's dead now. He drowned. The other guy says, well, didn't you bother to contact anybody? He said, yeah. He said, I contacted the police, the Coast Guard, Homeland Security, even the fire department. He says, it looks like I just wasted 4 good stamps. Dan, sing along. Take it, Dan.
Sober, leave me alone, let me go home.
Hey, you could add this to your playlist, your set list, or whatever they call it, when your band performs. Bob Wine, Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs. You could do that. I believe it's time to go to Southern California, and I know that Mr. Evans' appearance every day is brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant. Annie Gunn's is next door to the Smokehouse Market. Same ownership, same great quality. One is a place people run in and take things out. The other one, people go in and sit down or go outside. It's a little cold now, but outdoor seating when the weather permits. Closed on Mondays with only a couple of exceptions throughout the year. And you will need reservations for Annie Gunn's Restaurant. Drive by there sometime and take a look at that parking lot. You'll see what I'm talking about. And that's what happens when you have a great restaurant like Annie Gunn's. Gift cards, always a good idea. Give it up for Mike Evans, everybody.
Yeah.
That sounded good.
Very good. Second glass. I got to tell you, I've probably had too much to drink to be on the air today.
Now, thank you. You know what? At least he warns us. No, at least he always warns us.
We have fair warning.
And I never mention it, but I got to tell you, people. I know Frank always, goes on before I come on about Annie Gunn's. But I've eaten it, at the Boa and Spazio's and.
You've eaten at the world's finest.
Yeah. And Annie Gunn's really is one of my top two or three favorite restaurants in the country. I say maybe right after Los Cerritos in New York City. No, I'm serious. The food is absolutely, it's just fabulous.
I took, there was a friend who came in from California, and his parents live in New York. And for whatever reason, they were all coming to St. Louis, so we took them to Annie Gunn's. Now, the dad has a business, a very successful business in Manhattan, and he, after his meal, he looked at me and he said, I have eaten in the finest restaurants in New York City, and not one of them is better than this.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. I have no reason to go off and start talking about this.
I
never talk about it, but when I come to St. Louis, I always go to Annie Gunn's because it's the best. It is simply the best. I look forward to it. It's like a treat to go there.
It is.
You live in St. Louis, folks, so you got to try it. If you've never tried it, try it. You will thank us.
That's well said.
Pop quiz question. What did the ticket cost for the first Super Bowl in 1967? Game played at the L.A. Coliseum. The Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. What did the ticket cost to the first Super Bowl? $12?
That's expensive.
$15?
That's really expensive.
$20? $25.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Have they always used the Roman numerals for the Super Bowl? What is that about?
I don't know. It was Lamar Hunt's idea.
I don't get it.
You know who Lamar Hunt is?
No. I've heard the name, but I don't know who he is.
Dan, tell him who Lamar Hunt is.
I can't remember. I know.
Peon, tell him who Lamar Hunt is.
Owner of the Chiefs?
He was the owner of the Chiefs, and he was the owner of the first AFL team, and really is the one that put together the Super Bowl from Kansas City.
I just wish he'd used regular numbers, that's all.
I don't know.
Well, they did this year. Did you see that? Because
yeah,
it's 50, and they thought Super Bowl L would look stupid, so they
and at the end, the movie's on the credits. I'm not kidding. They still put that MXVIIX.
Local news.
Yeah.
They do on the news, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What in this world is that about?
Nice thing you know, they'll be using those the same things they use in Europe, you know, for instead of miles, meters.
Well, here's the deal. If the end of a movie, sometimes I like to know, well, what year was this? I have no idea. All I see is MCXVIIIXVI. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Hey, odds and ends, Brad Pitt is doing a new movie. He has very, very short, very, very gray hair. I mean this in a very heterosexual way, although he is still ridiculously good looking.
That sounds gay.
Oh.
He doesn't look like Brad Pitt. It's really kind of odd. Very good-looking older guy, but doesn't look like Brad.
You said good-looking twice.
More Beautiful People News, Heidi Klum.
He's drunk.
Is coming out with her own line of underwear. I got sent a video of her modeling her underwear.
Pass that along. Forward that.
Yeah.
And it is...
True.
Smoking.
Oh.
He's trying to offset the two comments about how good Brad Pitt is.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just telling light is on me. I don't pull that shit. Stuff.
What?
No surprise, Caitlyn Jenner loves the TV show Transparent about transgender life and has actually begged the network she's under contract to, the E! Network, to allow her to make at least one appearance on the show. Actually, Caitlyn would like to be a regular on the show. What a shock.
Well, I can't
Meanwhile,
get enough
Caitlyn
of her.
Caitlyn is on college speaking circuit. She'll be at Penn State this week. I hear she's going to Missouri sometime during the spring. Why would you pay her, you know, $10,000 to come and speak?
I wouldn't.
Boy, the University of Missouri sucks. I mean, it's just gotten ridiculous. You know, the attendance is down 7% after all that racial stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody wants to go there.
Yeah, thanks to that goofy
and
teacher.
And I have two children that graduated there.
I have a son that graduated.
One with a doctorate, with a master's from there. Selena Gomez. Wants to segue into feature films, even talking of even taking acting lessons. Plans to change her whole look, change her color of her hair, cut her hair, different style to get her done.
Why would she change her whole look?
She wants to look different.
You're not even going
to
see that.
What?
No, don't go there, Mike.
What did he say? She's trying to ruin my freaking report.
Yes, he is. Yeah, so. He is.
One more act, you know, Kris Jenner is trying to negotiate a deal where all of the Kardashian sisters would be in a movie together, but not as themselves. So far, no interest.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Hold on. Just hold your britches.
And finally.
Oh, bullshit. I got a lot more stuff.
You heard me.
From one of my Washington, D.C. insiders, Republicans have nicknamed the Secretary of State, John Kerry. They call him Lurch.
No comment. People hate it when we do political.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Super Bowl nugget, of all the ridiculous prop bets you can make, there's over 200. My favorite is 151 that an entertainer will catch on fire during the halftime show.
Well, I got to tell you, it happened before with Michael Jackson's hair, not during halftime.
I kind of like that.
I do, too.
Getting to history, it's a big one. February 4, 1789, George Washington is elected our first president of the United States of America.
I never knew that.
And finally.
There we go. Good wrap up.
Good report. I always feel like it's a great report when I've had a few drink glasses of wine.
Oh, it is great.
We agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. What is the ticket price for the first Super Bowl? $12, $15, $20, $25.
I'm going to go 12.
I'll say 15.
Wow, 19. I'm going to go 12.
It's $12.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I went into a 7-Eleven or a Totem or one of those fast convenience store stores the night before Super Bowl, and they had a stack of Super Bowl tickets they were selling for $5. This is the night before the Super Bowl, trying to get more people in there on Sunday for Super Bowl, and it was only it was about three-quarters half full of the Coliseum.
And did they call it Super Bowl from the very first year?
They did not.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember. There was another...
They called it the National...
It was the AFC versus
professional,
the NFL.
Professional Football League Championship.
Yeah, okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to give you my prediction of the Mike Evans Thriller forecast, who's going to win Super Bowl 50. You know what, Frank?
Yeah.
You be in the studio tomorrow. I don't want you taking tomorrow off. I want you in the studio.
I'll see what I can do.
No,
I have no control
over
that.
Studio.
I have no control over that. I'll work on it.
I can.
All right.
May I?
Yeah. Kids, that's what happens when you put things into your system. We'll take a quick break, come back, and say goodbye. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I had a really good time today. Thank you for being with us. I'll be back Monday. Have a great Thursday evening, everybody.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
This is the end. My only friend, the end.
Some folks has asked me, if you had it to do over again, would you do it the same way? I reckon I would.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.
We'll catch you next time.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
Please come again.
Go on. Leave. Get out. Next.
I am just a figment of your imagination.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
You dudes get lost now, you hear?
Good night, Danielson.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Well, gentlemen, no point in hanging around this dump any longer.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
I'm out of here.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, Dan.
All right, Dan.
Bye, y'all.